Maybe we should tell some of the people of the Kenny stories. He was a big personality, dangerous in many ways, and some anarchic.
And he was anarchic, but he was very much in control. A thinking anarchist, right?
Peel's most amazing achievements were his blind leads without any protection in very scary situations. For example, that Aisling Arret, when he originally did it, he used no, and it's emphasised in the guidebook, he used no protection at all on it. And he wasn't able to do the common finish that's used, which is a continuation crack, which is relatively easy when he can get the hole to the back of it. He traversed out without any protection at all, out to the edge, it's where, and very delicate traverse, and then up. It corresponds to these two, what are the two women? Celia. Yeah. But he did, that was a very delicate and exposed traverse, and he was about 80 feet up and completely without protection. And similarly in Donegal, the first essay up the Delta face that he did with Maura Larrosy, when they did Larceny, the final section of that, which I have never repeated, I always found an alternative way of doing it, but he went and did a layback on an overlapping crack right out of the edge, and that was done without protection for, again, a very long distance. And this is what characterised his lead, as went without, and similarly the scent of, what's the thing, milk bottles.
Seventh Heaven.
Mm. Again, was it?
Not that you can do an awful lot about protection on that.
You can't
anyway.
Do it now, but...
No, but I'm just... Yeah. I gather nowadays that people do get a certain... And when you've got smaller wires, you can have reasonable protection, but there was nothing good about them.
On the quartz.
On quartz
cliff, yeah. Which you could kind of pick up and throw away.
And there's no protection on any of that, really. I mean, the lower pitches, you've got 110, 120 feet. And you suddenly find a ledge, but in between there's no runner.
I've climbed down it. We tried to, there a few years ago, we tried to re-find Great Central Road, which is what's been ordinarily repeated. And what we ended up doing is coming up against after many years of wandering around the face, finding ourselves, in fact, at the base of the milk bottle and deciding we hadn't enough time to go on. So we climbed back down, and I climbed down last and all the pits was it wasn't bad, but I didn't want to commit myself to the milk bottle and all above that gate of the day and the midges of eatings anyway. Earlier time when I had a group of it, there were two ropes or three ropes, and I was leading a second or third rope with Paul Hill on Seventh Heaven. And we had climbed up pretty competently as two ropes up to the below the mid bottle. Mm-hmm. And there's a very small ledge there. I was belaying Paul, and he was going out onto that ledge to provide, fix up a belay for me to do the mid bottle bit. Mm. And I sent him off. I put a rope around a tiny knob of rock, and Paul looked at it with derision when he saw it. Paul climbed out to the little ledge, and next minute I was flat on my face. The ledge had come away with Paul, and Paul, even in those days, was fairly heavy, so I just pulled flat on my face, and the bloody rope stuck in the knob, because we were 500 feet up at that stage. But it stuck in the knob. One of the closest things I ever had. Just found myself, the only thing that was holding me was this despicable knob.
A long way to come down. Isn't it? Climbing down is harder. I think I mentioned the time that Brian and myself were up in that meat bottle for hours, not making much progress, and Tom was down at the base of the cliff. This was in the days when there would be nobody else in the mountains except a little handful of herself. And Tom was figuring out how he was going to get help. And the only way he could think of getting help from where he was driving to Dublin and picking up Frank and driving back to Connemara with the postcard.
I wouldn't have been any
and help. That would have been 9 hours later.